Would you please take out your Bibles and read along with me? We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're reading from the New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 8. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. And then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you.
Over the past few days, most of us have heard the name John Allen Muhammad. This man is considered to be one of the shooters in the recent murders. And as the news reports continue to come out about this man, most are agreeing that he was caught in part because of his pride. He claimed that he was God. He left a note for police, at least one note, and there were different phone calls made to the cops. What this man did is somewhat similar to what we have in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Paul, as he looked at the Corinthians, he said that this congregation was full of people who were filled or full of themselves. The word that's translated full or filled in 1 Corinthians 4:8 is only found twice in the New Testament. It's used here and it's also found in Acts 27:38, a passage that we do not need to look at because in that passage it describes people who ate until they're full. And I think most of us have had that experience. In 1 Corinthians 4:8, the word is used in a figurative way and it includes two different ideas that we want to look at in some detail. The first thing expressed by this word is arrogance. As you look at the word in 1 Corinthians 4:8, the people at Corinth, this word tells us that they viewed themselves as spiritual giants. They had an inflated view of themselves. As Mr. Muhammad apparently thought that he would not be caught or could not be caught, so the Corinthians were proud. These people saw themselves as cream of the crop church members. From time to time, at least it seems to be Paul's point as we look at the New Testament, it's important for God's people to remind themselves or to be reminded of who they really are. The sniper apparently got a pretty good taste of reality when he was taken before the judge. And that same kind of knowledge needs to exist in our own minds. If we are a Christian, if we are a member of the church, or if at some point we become a Christian, who are we? Well, Paul tells us in the 1 Corinthian letter, if you follow along in 1 Corinthians 4, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and look at verses 5, 6, and 7. I want to look at each of these verses individually. Again, we'll start with verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 3. What then is Apollos and what then is Paul? And then he answers the questions. Ministers through whom he believed, and each as the Lord gave to him. Who was Paul? Well, some would say that Paul was a great apostle. After all, this man was the fellow who wrote a substantial part of the New Testament. He was the fellow who received a number of special revelations from God, one of the greatest missionaries who has ever lived. And yet when Paul asks the question in 1 Corinthians 3, who am I? He doesn't talk about these things. He simply says, I am a minister, I am a servant of God. And then he goes on in verse 6 to expand the point. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who was Paul? In this verse, he says he was someone who planted at the right time of year. We can drive down a number of roads in our area and see farmers planting crops. Anything special about these men? No. just one more farmer doing the job that he needs to do. And Paul said that this was true of him as well. As we look at verses 5 and 6, we also want to include the information in verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. As I read these verses, they remind me of a little story that pops up every once in a while. There was a woman who attended a certain congregation, and one night this lady came to the preacher, and she said to him, "I am struggling with a certain sin. I believe that I am the prettiest woman here. And I know that I should not have this belief, but this is in my head. Can you help me?" And the preacher said, "Oh yes, I can help. You don't have a thing to worry about. What you're thinking about is not a sin, it's just a big mistake." It may not be beauty in our day and time, but people can make this same kind of error. Some Christians believe that they are really someone, when that's really not the case. Some think about what they do, the contributions that they make, but to have that kind of attitude, and that really was what the Corinthians had, it's a serious error. In Proverbs 6:16, the Bible says that there are some things that God really does not like. There's some things that He hates. And as you look at that list, the first thing on it is pride. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:8 that the people at Corinth were full of themselves, and Paul condemned them. The Corinthians were not the only religious people to have feelings of superiority. There have been others who have looked at their own lives and said to themselves, "I'm a super spiritual person. It's harder to find a much better or much harder worker for the Lord than me." And again, that reminds us of a story, in this case, a Bible story. You may remember from Luke 18 that there were two men who decided to go up into the temple to pray. The one man, he was a regular churchgoer, a Pharisee. And this man prayed, verse 11, and while it's not stated, more than likely he was someone who read the Old Testament on a regular basis. In verse 11 of Luke 18, he says to God, "I am not like other men." He reminded God that he was not guilty of extortion. In his communication with God, he said, "I am not guilty of unjust behavior. I've not committed adultery. I'm not like the other sinners of my day and time. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get." Verse 12. This fellow was so, quote-unquote, righteous, he may have helped work on a temple grounds. He was religious. He felt full of himself, and he was proud of his life. If this man could have had a scorecard, and perhaps he did, it would have had all the checks, all the stars in all the right places, just like the bingo card, all lined up. Like the Corinthians, this man was full. He didn't have the kind of servant attitude that Paul talked about in places like 1 Corinthians. And because he failed to have the right attitude, Jesus says in Luke 18:14 that when he came down from his prayer session, he was not justified. The other man was, but not this fellow. God knew all about this man's life, but heaven was not pleased with it. And today, we find that there are cases where this still happens in the church. There are people who have an exalted view of themselves. The opinion that some have is anything but that of a servant. And when people have this kind of view, they expect and they want people to serve them. They want to be prominent. Look again at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Paul said, "Already ye are filled, already ye are become rich, ye have come to reign without us." The Corinthians were people who thought that they ruled. They thought that they were the high and mighty. Paul said, "You reign without the apostles." It was as if these people viewed themselves as superior to the apostles. They had the kind of attitude that said that the church depended upon them. They were the ones who made things go, kept things going, made things work, got things done. And Paul said, that's not right. This is one of the aspects of the word full in 1 Corinthians 4:8. There is a second idea attached to the word, and the second idea is associated with knowledge. The Corinthian Christians thought that they had all the spiritual food that they needed. These Christians had met famous brethren like Paul. They were people who had a wide variety of spiritual gifts, and it seems that they reached a point in their Christian life where they kind of looked at God and they looked at religion and Christianity, and they said, "We have all that we possibly want. We don't want any more." They could be compared to the person who eats so much that he or she does not want any more food. It's enough. When we look at what the word full describes, it sounds like the Corinthians were childlike. People who were immature. When people want to be served instead of served, they have some growing up to do. And when people say, "I know everything, I don't need to hear anything else," they're not adults. And guess what we find in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. The material in 1 Corinthians 4:8 is partially explained by the beginning verses, the opening verses. In the third chapter, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but what? He says, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for ye were not able to bear it. Nay, not even now are ye able. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are ye not carnal, and do ye not walk after the manner of men? The ideas expressed by the word full are closely related to immaturity. And this is not the only places where these ideas are combined. I want to include another passage, and I'm turning here, from Matthew chapter 20. An interesting story that is recorded by Matthew. We would think that by the time a mother has two grown sons that there would be some maturity in her life. We would like to think that a mother would have put some things together by the time that her children are grown. But such was not the case, at least on this occasion. I want to begin with Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons, worshiping him and asking a certain thing of him. But what did this woman want? She had two grown children. She was making a request on their behalf. What was she asking for? Well, the text tells us in verse 21, and he said unto her, what wouldest thou? She saith unto him, command that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left in thy kingdom. This mother wanted her sons to have prominent places in the kingdom. Well, as you look at verse 24, you find that this request was not received very well by the other apostles. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation concerning or towards the two brethren. Well, this was really the kind of attitude that existed at Corinth. There were some people who wanted to be important. There were some people who had the attitude, I want you to look at me. I want you to see what I do. I want you to recognize me for who I am and the contributions that I make. Notice, if you will, the response by Jesus in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. That's how it works in the world. Not so, though, shall it be among you. But whosoever would become great shall be your minister, and whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant. And then he gives the supreme example, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. In the example, in this example, we find both of the ideas expressed by the word full or filled in 1 Corinthians 4:8. On the one hand, this word in 1 Corinthians 4:8 describes people who are after prominence, and we have that here in Matthew chapter 20. This word also in 1 Corinthians 4:8 describes people who had all the knowledge, all of the religion that they wanted. And this second point can be found in Matthew chapter 20 as well. Jesus asked these men if they could drink the cup that he was going to drink, verse 22. And their response, oh yes, not a problem, we can do that. Notice, if you will, that these men did not ask what the cup was. They had no apparent interest in learning any more. From all indications, they were satisfied with the body of knowledge that they had, and that attitude still exists in the world and in the church. People become satisfied with what they know, and sometimes that's true for the Christian. They reach a certain point where they think, well, I have a sufficient base, a sufficient level of knowledge, and that is sufficient for all my needs. And maybe that comes from society. People go through the educational process, they finish with school, and for many, at least in some areas, the learning nearly stops. But Paul said to the Corinthians, that's not God's will when we think about his word and Christianity. The Lord believed that his apostles were not full of knowledge. So he added in Matthew 20, verse 23, these words, he saith unto them, my cup ye indeed shall drink. You're going to receive some additional training. You do not know everything. There are some things that you still need to acquire as far as knowledge is concerned, and you will learn those things. These people had more to learn, and they would learn. And this point is still true. We should have an interest in growing and learning in a number of areas, especially the spiritual side of life, until we die. Whenever a Christian feels full, there's a problem. A serious problem. You see, the word full that's described in 1 Corinthians 4:8, if we take it to its root cause, is pride. And when people have that problem, they're going to face some very serious consequences. When people are filled with pride, the focus is going to be on themselves. It means that instead of loving others first, people will be most in love with themselves. When people are full of themselves, they're going to lose the kind of joy that's described in the New Testament. And that's the case because pride is easily offended. And when that occurs, people often find that they're in an unhappy state. When people are full in the sense of 1 Corinthians 4:8, they lose their peace, because people who concentrate on themselves, People who are full of themselves cannot have the peace that's described by the New Testament writers. People who are full, in the sense of 1 Corinthians 4:8, face some other consequences, one of which is the inability to be long-suffering. Think about the person who says, well, I'm not going to put up with that. What's it tell us about the person? They're not long-suffering. And again, it gets back to the idea of pride. They're full of themselves, cannot concentrate on others, so they begin to lack the qualities that are described in places like Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Being full, in the sense of 1 Corinthians 4:8, even takes people away from faithfulness. Do we not remember how Jesus, in places like Matthew 16, talked about denying ourselves? How can people do that if they're full of themselves? The two are mutually exclusive principles. For the Christian, God's will means continued growth and continued service to others. And the Corinthians failed on both counts. And Paul said, that's not right. You need some help. Have we learned from the mistakes of the Corinthians? We know, as we look at Luke 18, where the man who was so proud of himself, what happened to him and his religion? The Bible says he went home, and he was not justified in the sight of God. We have seen pride bring down a man who shot more than a dozen people. Probably could have continued to go and get away with it, but pride brought him down. We know about the problems that came from pride at Corinth. Will we not, therefore, learn from the lessons both in Scripture and in the secular world? We begin by becoming a Christian. We have faith in Christ. We want to live in the right way. Those things require humility, a rejection of pride. And then once people confess Christ, they allow themselves to be baptized into Christ, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. That is an expression of humility, amongst other things. And then those attitudes are to be continually expressed and practiced by those who are Christians. So this morning, we ask, if you've not become a Christian and you're ready to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have and you become affected in the way that Paul described in 1 Corinthians 4:8, can we assist you in getting you back on the right road? Or if there's another way in which we can help you as a body of people, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.